Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, starting the show today to talk about mental health and focusing on why exercise is so important to your mental health. Back with us, Dr. Shyla Merghain, distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She specializes in using mind-body medicine to treat mood and anxiety disorders, injury rehabilitation, and more in athletes. Dr. Merghain is also a sports psychologist to UW Badger student athletes. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts. Tell us how exercising maybe has changed your life. How do you move your body when you want to feel happier? You can share your favorite exercise that helps you feel at peace, or maybe you have a question, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Dr. Shyla Merghain, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Exercise has many benefits, but what are some of the biggest benefits for our mind?
This is such an important topic and one near and dear to my heart, because one of my goals this summer is to get out walking during my lunch hour as a busy mom to a three-year-old. I'm often focused on her sporting events, and some of my own fitness goals have gone on the back burner. So the research is really strong. There have been thousands of studies that have shown that there is benefit to exercise to both physical and mental health. In particular, for mental health, we find that people who are regularly exercising can experience a reduction in depression, anxiety, and stress. There can be benefits with symptoms related to ADHD and even trauma. And I think a really important point is regular exercise is important, and getting a reasonable amount of exercise during that time, a reasonable amount of minutes exercising. But research shows that even 20 minutes most days of the week can have significant benefit to your overall mental health. And lastly, we find exercise, research has found, can be as effective as medication and psychotherapy for mild to moderate symptoms of something like depression or anxiety. So really, movement and exercise really is medicine for our body.
What's the research show about the connection between our brain and exercise? What goes on in the brain when we're exercising?
It's such a great question. We know that a couple things are beneficial. So our body does produce natural endorphins when we are exercising, those kind of feel-good hormones. We also know that because we are expending energy, we often sleep better at night and have sharper memories and can relax more deeply. We also know that with exercise, sometimes there's a social benefit, like if you're in a class or walking with a friend, or simply just walking in your neighborhood saying hi to people. And I think from a mindfulness perspective, it allows us to connect with the outside world if we're exercising outside. And so I think it helps us get out of ourselves, get out of our thinking, and engage more with the world around us.
I know that in the mornings, I'm out there at about 5:30 in the morning, and I see kind of the same people. I always say hi to everybody, and they usually say hi back. And most of the time, they're in pairs. I'm by myself, and there's a few singles out there that are walking, but we always say hi, and it kind of feels good to do that.
That little bit of engagement can produce what's called a micro boost, just a little boost in mood and energy that can really set the tone for your day and carry through with you throughout the course of the week.
Yeah. Scott in Hayward has a comment or question. Let's go there. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I have exercised most of my life, adult life, and I really enjoy it, and I definitely agree that it has helped my mental acuity. I noticed in my early 70s that I developed a kind of a groundless anxiety. Just, you know, wondered what the heck was going on. I went to counseling, and they encouraged me to journal, and that helped. And I, by the way, I bike, ski, and used to run. I really miss that, but I can't do that anymore. So anyhow, what has really helped me lately is I have gotten into what's called intentional cold immersion. I use a cold shower at the end of my shower, and that seems to have really just taken away that anxiety that has used to bug me so much.
Interesting. What do you think, Shyla?
I think that's really inspiring. Number one, you've tried different forms of exercise, and sometimes for particular seasons of life, we might be a runner, but then we become a cycler, or then maybe later in life we go to the warm water pool. And I really can't speak to the cold therapy, but I do know many people would really swear by it, whether it's a cold plunge or a cold shower, just to really revitalize the system. So that might be something people could try as well.
Yeah. Scott, thanks very much for sharing that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Iris in Viroqua. Hi, Iris.
Hi. I'm so glad you were able to take my call. So I have a very physical job. I have a house cleaning business, and I average 3 to 5 miles of walking a day through work. And I'm wondering if you see the health benefits only in, like, specific exercise, or do you see those benefits in people that have physical jobs and are just moving a lot in their day? And I can take my comment off the air.
Yeah, interesting question, Iris. Thanks for calling. What do you think, Shyla?
Yeah, that's really inspiring. So research shows walking in whatever form can be really an effective treatment for depression. It can be protective with our mental health in making it less likely for depression to occur. And many people wear pedometers to just track their steps. And, you know, like you, we might be walking more than we realize, or maybe it inspires us to park further away when we're getting our groceries so we can have more steps. Or in the winter, maybe we do one more loop around that big box store just to get in those steps. We also find jogging, yoga, strength training to also be more effective than other exercises, particularly when intense. So there's probably a way when we're walking, we could go really slowly, or maybe we just pick it up, the pace up a little bit, just to really get our cardiovascular system more engaged. So, and I think your point is so powerful, because we don't have to buy all the fancy clothes, get the gym membership, get the gear to start an exercise program, that it can be as easy as just maybe doing a few more laps at work, for example, during our work day.
So in her situation, she was wondering, I think, I'm already doing 3 to 5 miles a day, but that's part of my work. So would it be, do I need to do more outside of the work situation for my mind and body?
Not necessarily, because one of the risks is overtraining, overdoing. 3 to 5 miles sounds like that's probably plenty. You know, do you need to go out for a walk when you get home? Probably not. But maybe there is another form of exercise that you want to do, like a gentle stretching class, or getting into the pool and doing some swimming that would allow some cross training.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks very much for that call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mehler with my guest, Dr. Shyla Mergane, here on WPR News. Talking today with Dr. Shyla Mergane, and we're looking at the benefits of exercise for our mental health as well as our physical health, but zeroing in on the mental side of things. Are you having trouble getting started in an exercise program? That may be a question you might have for our guest today, and you could join in at 800 642 1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Well, unlike our last caller, Iris, most of us, or many of us, let's put it that way, spend a lot of time at work just sitting on our butts, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and we often talk about sitting as the new smoking, that becoming too sedentary can be more detrimental to our health than smoking is. And I think, right, many of us have desk jobs or we've just become too sedentary. And like Iris, just even getting up, the recommendation every hour for sitting to get up and walk or move for 2 to 5 minutes can have good cardiovascular benefits.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, there are people that don't necessarily have a great attitude about exercise. Let's put it that way. I kind of like it. I got used to it. I don't even think much about it anymore. I just get up and do it, and I feel better when I'm done. But how do you change your attitude about exercise?
Larry, and you're such a role model, and just what you shared, that you changed your attitude about it, that you feel good after, and you just get up and do it. So I think there are 3 important things there. First is revising your attitude or mental script. For some people, exercise had a negative association. Maybe you were the last person to get picked in gym class, or maybe you got teased or didn't feel good enough in your teen years for the ways you engaged in sports. I think it can be hard to get back into exercise when we've stopped, kind of like physics, a ball that's stationary. It takes a lot of energy to get it moving, but once it's in motion, it takes a lot less energy. So I think a really important point for changing our mindset is to focus on movement over exercise. And really, our bodies are designed to move. So I encourage viewers who are resonating with this topic to ask themselves, what gets me moving? All of a sudden, so many options open up. It could be taking the stairs instead of the elevator. It could be taking a 5-minute dance break. It could be just walking down when you're getting the mail down to the end of the block and back. And moving really gets you out of our head and into our body. The second thing that you said is you remember how you felt after your last workout. You know, after we exercise, we feel the sense of accomplishment. We have those endorphins. We feel less stressed, or we even think more clearly and sleep better at night. But we can remember that, those positive, fresh memories that will propel us to back to our workout the next day. And then I think, you know, you also talked about it's a habit, and we can make it a habit by setting small goals. Maybe you start with 5 minutes. I've worked with people, and the only goal they had was 3 times a week to walk for 5 minutes. And I've seen them set that goal, feel good about it. They can tolerate it. And then they're able to build up to maybe 30 minutes 4 times a week or 20 minutes 5 times a week. Sometimes there's some health issues, like I think of folks with chronic pain that might need to work with a physical therapist or talk with their physician to find a kind of movement that's going to work well for their body. But again, there's so many options out there. And I think it can be fun to have an accountability buddy, whether it's a health care provider or a loved one or family member, even a neighbor, that can keep you at that goal, especially if you fall off, to get you back on track.
You talk about mindfulness. What do you really mean by being mindful?
Well, I think this can be some of the joys of movement. So again, there can be negative connotations of, oh, I have to go to the gym and sweat, and I'm going to compare myself to other people around me, and I'm not going to feel good enough, or I'm going to feel awkward, like I don't know what I'm doing. And all of that is resistance and can take us away from our goal. Instead, we can use some mindfulness to really feel that mind-body connection. And again, if our bodies are made to move, we can use mindfulness. For example, I think 2 different ways. If we're outside walking or biking, or jogging, using mindfulness with a 5 senses practice, noticing around us. This is a great time of year with springtime and everything in bloom. We can notice like 5 things that we can see, and then 4 things we can hear, 3 things we can touch, like our socks and our shoes, or maybe a hand touching a leaf, our article of clothing. So, and then we can do two things we can smell. Maybe we stop and smell a flower. And then one thing we can taste. So five things we can see, four things we can hear, like the birds, the wind rustling, three things we can touch, two things we can taste, one thing we can smell. And then the second part is using mindfulness, feeling our body, feeling how it moves. And we might even use that as a practice of appreciation for our body, thanking our body, being aware of the blood pumping, all that's going well in your body, the sensations of exercise, and then just appreciation for how your body's moving and all that your body is doing for you. I think it's important to remember a lot of people can't move in these ways, and even if your body is limited in how it can move, it can still move, and there's joy in that and appreciation for that.
Do you remember reading a piece that you wrote, and I think you said something like, start with the end in mind.
I think that's wonderful. It's so helpful to have a plan, but even more specifically, a destination. So it can be helpful to train for something. It could be, here in Wisconsin, we have a lot of local walks or runs, maybe to benefit charity. Maybe it's just something, maybe it's a trip you're planning for, or maybe just wanting to keep up with the grandkids. That can keep you motivated. So thinking about having a specific goal and then creating a really small but systematic plan. And then you might even have something posted, like a picture of that trip or the registration form for that walk. Again, I think that helps you keep the why to what you're doing day in and day out of getting out there to exercise.
I was thinking about someone I know who is has a wedding down the road to the mother of the bride. And she is now in the process of exercising more so she can fit into a smaller size dress.
Exactly. That was an example that came to mind. So I'm so happy you shared that, whether it's, the holiday party and wanting to wig fit into that suit, or a wedding, or maybe a class reunion, or even just kind of setting a goal, like by the end of the year, I want to feel stronger in my body. I want more energy. I want those pants to fit better. Those are all wonderful motivators.
A listener emailed us, what about exercise advice for those of us with ADHD, struggling with being consistent with it?
Well, I think, again, when we think about the end in mind, exercising regularly is one of the easiest and most effective ways to reduce the symptoms of ADHD. It's found to improve concentration, motivation, memory, and mood because it boosts those brains, those endorphins. Also, it boosts the brain's dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin levels. All affect focus and attention. So I think, keeping that in mind, I think, one, get it in your calendar. So schedule it. Also think about having the three R's, which for behavior change. So the three R's, first, having a reminder. Could be that pop-up in your calendar. It could even be your gym bag packed in your car or by the front door so you see it. And you go through the routine, like exercise. So it's reminder routine. The third R is some sort of reward. Do a little treat for yourself. Like maybe you give yourself, like I think of kids in the sticker chart that gets them motivated to brush their teeth or make their beds. Maybe you say, okay, each time I exercise, I'm going to make a check. And after a week, I'm going to treat myself to something. Probably not food, but maybe you go to a movie, you buy yourself fresh flowers, or you purchase something you've been wanting, or even just do an enjoyable activity that's free. And I think those three R's can be really helpful. The reminder, the routine, and then the reward to get us, again, we're forming habits to set goals and that behavior change to help some of these changes stick.
Hmm. You know, you work with athletes, UW athletes. They devote a lot of their time to training for their sport. How does being so active help or maybe hurt their mental health?
That's a great question. There's so many benefits, right, that we've been talking about. And I did mention overtraining. I think we also have to be careful with our body that we're not going all gung-ho with one physical activity. I think of my teen athletes or younger athletes, we often encourage some cross-training, which is really, really important. I also think comparison, there can be at the collegiate level or teen level, a lot of pressure, you know, social media posts and wanting to win the game or how will a mistake be perceived. So we're also working on mindset. And I think this is important for anyone exercising to simply be kind to yourself, celebrate what you can do. And even if you maybe fell short of your goal, that's okay. You can set the goal for tomorrow, and you can always work towards it, maybe slower or modify it, but you can always pick yourself up and get back at it tomorrow.
Some good advice there, Dr. Shyla. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I really appreciate it. We'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Larry. It was a real honor to be here.
Dr. Shyla Mergain is a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Always fun to have her stop by, and we'll have her back again, and we'll probably pick up another aspect of her work relating to mental health. Great to have her along. Speaking about health, arthritis comes to mind for a lot of people, and that's what we will be talking about coming up. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.